Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave, a man who has taught me so much about jazz and appreciation. And God knows that through the past several years, he has sent more custom-made CDs to me of his personal favorites, an artist that I should know that I can't even tell you. I owe so much to Dave Solomon, and he needs to have a little public love letter in the first month of the year. Love you, Dave! Or, as he is known in some inner circles, Uncle Meat. Don't ask. Hey, speaking of accolades and showing some love, the gentleman whose work you hear in the background here, Daoud Said, it's his birthday today. Yeah, what a week for a celebration. The Ravens won on Sunday. The inauguration was yesterday. We are still so high in Baltimore and D.C., you can't even imagine. And I'm high especially because Hillary Cole is with us next hour. This is so awesome. I am learning so much about this profoundly talented lady. It's just staggering when you hear her voice. She's going to tell you all about herself, and we'll hear at least three songs by her. But as is the usual case, let us start out with something classic by Cannonball Adderley. I think this needs to go out to Barack Obama. One for Daddy O. Thank you for being here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
tested and not questioned. The whys and the hows without obsessing. It's a lot to think about, I'm still processing. Tears of joy in the morning made our pillow wet. Then night fell and we turned into silhouettes. Your body next to mine dancing real close. Step left, step right, then a pirouette. It would appear as that we really do believe in us. But it's so hard to believe all we need is us. Believe a kiss on a cold day could be enough. Look at the stars and wonder what it is they see in us. Where is it leading us? That's all I'm asking. Love comes in every color, but the fact is I never needed 50 shades of gray. Just turn the lights down low and give me every shade of blackness.
Robbie Glasper, I got your number from a good friend of mine, and I really like what you're doing over there with the music and the drums and the bass and the sound effects, and it's kind of cool. I just got to say, I love that song, Black Radio, Black Radio, Black Radio, by that guy, Nassim Me, I don't know, guy kind of sounds like most deaf to me, if you ask me. But thanks. Keep the good work up, kid.
I love that. Robert Glasper is a different breed of cat, and he surrounds himself with people who are alike in that regard. Woo! Now, I'm going to try to explain this to you in terms that are understandable, because Robert is such a different kind of guy. He released Black Radio in 2012, but there was also a Black Radio Recovered, the remix EP, also released a few months later. And that particular track is something that I got from the remix EP, actually Ninth Wonder's Blue Light Basement Remix of Afro Blue, the Mongo Santa Maria song from back in the day that Erykah Badu brought up to snuff along with Prate from Ninth Wonder. Yeah! Robert Glasper is 34 years old, and you have probably heard a lot about Glasper, and I don't want to make his head swell up any more than it has, because even the more traditional publications or outlets to praise or not jazz artists has given him a blank check. And Robert has been very clear about the fact that he has not been happy with the state of staleness in jazz, and really that is essentially what he's trying to say. So he wanted to truly mix it up some and breathe new life into a genre that he really loved, and here's why. Here's what the pivotal thing about Glasper is. His mom sang professionally in jazz and blues, And she didn't want to leave baby Robert Glasper home. She took him with her to the venues. Moreover, she had three regular gigs in churches, Catholic, Baptist, and Seventh-day Adventist. So he heard all of that because she took him there too. So you kind of figure out that the church background and the jazz and blues and then his strong association with hip-hop just created this new kind of persona and a genre that really did need him. I mean, there's a lot of creative people in jazz for sure, and I don't agree with Glasper that jazz was stale. I think that probably the best thing that ever happened was the demise of these smooth jazz stations, and I'll just put that out there, because people needed then to regroup and say, hey, wait a minute, let me do something different. Thank God. So here's Glasper that comes along, and it's just so funny that we played right before him McCoy Tyner, who was 74. So you do the math. It was so cool to hear the McCoy Tyner, listen to me, trio back-to-back with Robert Glasper's folks, just to give you a feel. And that was from Infinity, Happy Days from 1995. Michael Brecker, God rest his soul, on sax, Avery Sharp on drums, Avery Sharp on bass, Aaron Scott on drums, Valentino Anastasio on percussion. Just a cool song, Happy Days. Had to play that for the past couple of days, especially for Baltimore folks, because Baltimore Ravens won on Sunday in a game that was, if you listen to the pundits, assuredly not theirs. Sorry, New England. And then yesterday with the inauguration, it just seemed like the fitting choice to play. Woo! McCoy Tyner is playing a few dates. Hopefully he'll play some more this year, and his website is always on it as far as that's concerned. So McCoyTyner.com. Cannonball Adderley, can I just say how cool it was to play that track? And there's just so much to say, but got to make sure you know about the personnel that you just heard. And this particular Something Else LP from back in 1958, just so chock full of some glorious people. Actually, One for Daddy O was the track that we heard, and you heard Miles Davis at the very end of that song asking the sound engineer if that was what he wanted. That was pretty cool. Miles Davis, in one of his rare appearances for Blue Note, and actually, let me see here. I want to make sure you hear about something. Yeah. Miles Davis, this was a rare foray for him as a sideman. Cannonball was actually playing for him at this time, but Cannonball and Miles were working closely together for this particular album. Miles actually picked out most of the material. Yeah. And Nat Adderley, Cannonball's brother, wrote the song for Chi-Town disc jockey Holmes Daddy O Daily. And it was just this wild combination of different kinds of factors that translated into what Penguin Guide to Jazz called one of their core collection pieces, this whole album. There was just something so magic in the combination of personnel, and that included, of course, Cannonball on alto sax, Miles on trumpet, Hank Jones on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. My God, it was just one of my favorite albums, to be sure. And you just heard a track, Why? Song for Daddy O, Barack Obama. Michael Pedersen is going to be playing for us momentarily. And I'm seeing the length of some of these tracks. Hopefully all of the people that got mentioned on Facebook that we're going to play today actually get played. But for sure, Hillary Cole, who just emailed me a little bit ago, flipping back and forth my account on AOL, which I still have. I'm not going to leave. I love America Online still. Hillary just said she's really excited, and I guess the guests in the chat room are here for Hillary, by and large. Although, The Verano show the other day, I have to tell you, over 3,500 listens since Thursday. Thank you all so much. Ken and Lynn are ecstatic, getting ready for their gig this coming Saturday. Yeah, and I'll post facts about the gig coming up. Woo! Hillary Cole with us at the top of next hour, and Michael Pedersen here now. Born just outside of Philadelphia, one of my contemporaries. I should have known him back in the day while we were growing up in Philly, but I did not. Michael living just down the street from one of my sisters in New Jersey, in Linwood. And, man, I thought about this song with tears in my eyes yesterday. I was thinking of our president's mom and how she would have loved to have seen the second inauguration for her son, and my mind just went to Michael Pedersen from Live at the Loft. This is a song written by someone else, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. This is Song for My Mother. I hope you enjoy this saxophonist. We've got quite a few of them on the show today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you.
Just release and you
gracious, thanks alive, good buddy. Oh, you know, that song was already good. For those of us who remember that it came out in 1979, Where There's Smoke. Smokey Robinson, that is. Whew, sweating in here. Smokey was already an icon for those of us who knew. But those of us who saw him on Friday night in Baltimore at the Lyric, whole nother story. Let me tell you something. I have never been in an audience where every single straight woman that was there, we were in one collective cry of, oh, serious stuff. I mean to tell you, Smokey Robinson is in his 70s. That is the sexiest man I have ever seen on stage, without question. He just knows how to work it. You saw a Vegas show, if you ever get a chance to see him, and he's got lots of dates. He has two keyboard players, a cute as the Dickens drummer, three singers, and utilized all three. He certainly had something for the ladies and something for the men. And I'm saying this because the ladies were really attractive, including two dancers who danced to some of the Smokey songs. Now, ordinarily, that would be corny, but somehow it just fit because he just rolls like that. And when he would actually do the songs came to life. I mean, peeling off his jacket, handing it to the ladies who were just there waiting for him, getting involved with the ladies in dances that were swallowing hard here, suggestive. Yeah. And when he gets into a song, it's got a storyline to it, beginning, middle, and end. You just believed every word he was singing. He is just so hot. I can't even describe it. Cruising. That's all I'm going to say. Larry Carlton with Vince Gill, double guitar action on Gracias, from Fingerprints back in 2000. If you did not know this, Larry Carlton is, again, up for a Grammy nomination for Four Hands and a Heart. Now, that was released in late 2012, and here's what it is. The songs that Larry loved best, from Strikes Twice and Sleepwalk, he recorded them again, 14 tracks, and the Grammy committee said, you know what? These are worthy of consideration, so good for Larry Carlton. Woo, that is so nice. And we also heard from Michael Pettison, New Jersey-based, Song for My Mother, a Walt Weisskopf song that we had to include, especially for Ann Dunham, Barack Obama's mom. Just had it in my head to do it. Michael Pettison on tenor sax, Johnny Valentino, another Philadelphia boy, on guitar, Jim Riddle on piano, Andy Lalassis on acoustic bass, and Bob Shomo on drums. Have to say hello to Michael. Hopefully he'll be on the show one of these days. His musical hero was John Coltrane, and he's a second-generation saxophonist. His dad is known all over the Philadelphia area. I think his dad is still with us. He's in his 90s. Drives a convertible, and I just saw something that concerned me a little bit. Michael Pettison has a website, and I saw that he canceled a few gigs because of hand surgery, so hopefully we'll get to the bottom of that. Just love this guy. Toured with Dave Brubeck and Maynard Ferguson, Pat Martino, and Stevie Wonder, the OJs, David Bowie, and Lou Rawls. So Michael Pettison is known as one of these guys who just gets the job done and is filled with so much passion. And here's a reason why. Back in the day, Ellis Island times, his original name was Pettuccino. That's an Italian boy there. And the name was changed at the suggestion of some folks through the years. So there's a lot of something going on there when you hear that saxophone play in a song as touching as Song for My Mother. So a little bit background of Michael Pettison. And we're going to play something here for you. I was going to save it for later on, but I want to play it right now and then play Hillary Cole. She's going to call at 2 o'clock sharp. It may go a little over. And I'm thinking maybe we should play her now. Maybe we should, because I want you to hear her so badly. If you have never heard Hillary Cole, this is one of those world-class voices that will beckon to you. There's something in the way she sings that takes you by the hand and makes you come to her. And if you've seen a picture of her, then you'll want to do that anyway. She's just lovely beyond words. This is a song that Hillary wrote. It's called Where Are the Angels? A few of them were hanging around at the Lyric on Friday night with Smokey. That's a different story. Hillary Cole, Where Are the Angels? On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that that was a beyond compelling voice? This lady, Hillary Cole, is just one of those people. And the phrase has been overused through the years about how something or someone can knock your socks off. But I'm telling you, that's what she does. She knocks your socks off. That's an original song by Hillary Cole, Where Are the Angels? And we have this amazing musician and writer and singer and very respected artist on the phone with us right now. Hillary Cole, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just, you know what? Here's what I am, Hillary. I'm thrilled that you're here, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I have to tell you, I'm so excited because that's an original of mine, and I've made my career so far basically singing other people's songs. And
yes.
I've always written, but this is one of the first times I've ever heard it live. I've actually ever heard a recording of it.
I got chills. I have chills. That's awesome. It sounds breathtaking, Hillary, and you have to explain the inspiration for that, because I'm thinking of like a dozen things in my head.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's Where the Angels, for me, it's not a love song. It was really more of my very subtle political statement. I don't like to get political.
Hold on. The phone is going a little kaflooey. Are you talking on a cell phone?
I am, unfortunately. Can you hear me?
Okay. Shoo-wee. Because you're breaking up, and I want folks to hear you as good as possible. Maybe there's another location where you are. You can go to
let me call you right back.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Yay!
Okay. I'm calling you right back. Okay.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing about Hillary Cole. When I first really, really delved into how good she was, I had heard that she wrote a song for the victims of Sandy Hook Elementary School. And when I heard the song, I just could not listen to all of it. She's just so sensitive and such a creature of some rare proportion, the depth in her singing. And actually, if you go to Hillary Cole, 1L and then KOLE.com, you will see LA Times and New York Times accolades on her front page. And the New York Times person who wrote this has it right. She is so rare in that she is able to be technically so proficient. You know, we were talking to Jackie Ryan about this. When you have the technical proficiency and then you have the honesty to back that up, that's pretty smashing. So I'll just wait for her to call back. And I deliberately thinking that maybe we should have more than three songs, maybe a fourth song. I did this deliberately just so we had a point of reference. So she's maybe digging for a phone. Maybe we should do another one. How about it? Hillary Cole, More Than You Know on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Whether you are here or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander, I'm growing fonder of you. Even though your friends forsake you, even though you
Oh, that is so glorious. My gosh. Oscar Peterson didn't record with just anybody. That was Hillary Cole with Oscar in one of his last recordings, and Hillary's back with us. Hillary, does that song give you chills?
I have it, yeah, it really does. It just takes me right back to that incredible day when Oscar was wearing a baseball cap and a beautiful cashmere blazer and showed up at NOLA Recording Studios, and we had this amazing moment, and it was something I will never, ever forget. It's something that I had no idea would ever happen to me, and it just it's kind of crazy to think about it. I knew him as a friend, and so it was a friend, just two friends kind of getting together, and I'm really happy to share it with everybody today.
Oh, gosh. It's just, we have a really full chat room, and that's a lot to your credit. So I know that people are hanging on to every word. Some people have known about you. Some people have followed your career for as long as you've been singing, and some folks are just getting to know you. You have one of those blessed backgrounds because you started early. People recognized the talent in you early when you were in New York and at Manhattan School of Music. Fill us in, Hillary, on this amazing career of yours.
Well, gosh, I mean, it's I've been really so blessed along the way. There are so many people that I could talk for hours about so many different people, but I was so lucky to go to Manhattan School of Music. It was a dream to live in New York City. I actually went for composition because I really wanted to be a film composer, and I still do. I do mostly all of my arrangements. And so that was really my first love. And although singing was always important to me, I felt that I wanted to know more. I wanted to know about every instrument. I wanted to know how to write for them, how to kind of create my own sound. So I went for composition, and I'm also a pianist. And from there, I was so lucky. I met this wonderful mentor, Jackie Presti, who is this incredible voice teacher in New York City. And she helped me really make my first demo, and she got it to this wonderful company who was booking the Rainbow Room at the time. At that time, that was that beautiful restaurant with the incredible ballroom. And I started singing like so many other big band singers with a band. I had a 12-piece band and singing standards, and I was still going to college during the day, and I was doing this at this glamorous, amazing thing at night. And it was just miraculous. And, of course, I thought, like, well, this is how my career will be. A little harder than that. But I was so lucky to have that first opportunity, and I did that for about a year and a half, 2 years. And while I was there, I met this wonderful gentleman who is a great singer, a crooner, and he said, you know, we should do a show together. And really good friends. And it ended up that we wrote a show with a third gentleman, Eric Comstock. His name is Christopher Giants. We wrote a great show called Our Sinatra, and we wrote it for a 2-week engagement, and it ended up running in New York City for nearly 5 years.
Wow! Yeah. It was called Our Sinatra.
Our Sinatra. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I've been really, really lucky. And from there, of course, we wrote a second show together, but then I also started my solo career, and I'm very lucky to have a few records out now and to just be able to make my living singing standards, singing songs, and to be able to do that all over the world is basically my dream come true. So I'm very, very blessed.
You are, and here's one of those magic things that happened when I was immersing myself in your voice and your music in preparation for the show. Hillary, it's so wild, and, you know, some of us don't care. Some ladies do not care if the world knows how old they are or not. I don't need to know your age, but here's what I heard when I heard you. I am way older than you, and I remember that I was allowed to watch television when I was a little girl. So I watched Arthur Godfrey, and I watched the old Steve Allen show, and all of those great Jack Parr episodes,
yep,
and Merv Griffin. And
wow.
You remind me of the great singers that they brought on those shows.
Well, you know, it's so funny that you said that, because my father Robert Cole was a wonderful singer, is still a wonderful singer. He's living in Florida now. He still sings. He can still sing the Man of La Mancha better than anyone I've ever heard on the planet. And I'm not over-exaggerating. He was a Broadway singer, and he started his career. He won the Arthur Godfrey Talent Contest when I think he was, I don't know, 18 or 21. I swear to God. And he, you know, he did the Johnny Carson show 7 times. So I believe that, you know, and he was my first teacher. So he really taught me how to sing. So I really think that you're right about that. I come from a different era, and he taught me how to sing the way he taught, you know, they taught the great Broadway singers of the 50s, basically, and swing singers of the 50s to sing. So I'm really lucky I have that I had that wonderful opportunity with him. And so I think you're absolutely right. We come from the same, you know, the same stock.
Isn't that something? And I had no clue, but it just hit me. Because in thinking about all the times that Merv Griffin used to allude to the Rainbow Room, either he was performing there or somebody that was going to come on his show was performing there, and you, so folks know about you, that was a glorious room. There was you have played all of the great rooms in New York, so you know Iridium, Blue Note, my gosh. Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall.
I've been very, very lucky, and there are so many great rooms, and there's a new one that just opened up, 54 Below, which I'm actually playing at the end of the month, and I did a run there this past summer. So, yeah, I mean, New York is fantastic. And then, of course, I'm so lucky to be able to share this music. I really believe strongly in the American Songbook, what I consider songs written basically from 1917 to present day.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of our greatest exports, and I feel very strongly about keeping this music alive. While I also now, you know, I'm doing more and more of my own original songs, I really feel passionately about keeping this music alive and introducing it to the next generation. Most people my age and younger than me don't know these songs, and when they hear them, they are so moved by them. So I feel very, very deeply about this music, and to be able to, you know, travel to Japan or travel to South America or Europe and kind of bridge the cultural divide a little bit with this music, I think this music does that for us.
Oh, and I can imagine the elders in jazz and the folks involved in music who have revered and have performed those pop standards for years. They are probably over the moon with you, because here you are, the youngest vocalist to ever grace the stage of the Rainbow Room, and you have stayed true to making this believable music that was so adored by so many for so many years part of your repertoire still. You have not strayed from that. And now, am I getting the notion that you're on a new course? You're about to embark on a new chapter in your career, are you not?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of new chapters going on, but I feel very strongly, you know, for a long time, I really immersed myself in the American Popular Songbook and the traditional standards, and I felt like, you know, I love this music so deeply. It's such a part of who I am and who I've become, and yet there are other songs out there. So for this last year, I've really been exploring more contemporary songs. For me, more contemporary could be 1964, could be a Beatles tune, or it could be a Paul Simon composition. I'm writing much more. So for me, I'm really kind of exploring myself in a new way. I have new hair. I kind of have a new life. So so I thought it was important to kind of reassess. You know, you have to kind of look at your life every once in a while and say, you know, this is a good path, but, like, what else is there? So for me, I'm really exploring kind of all of my voice even. I feel like I'm singing differently now. I'm taking more chances. I'm older, too. I feel like, you know, there's a confidence that comes with being in your 30s rather than your 20s that gives you the opportunity to kind of take more chances and to be comfortable in your own skin in a way that I wasn't before, maybe.
Oh, listen, you don't know how much I hear you when you say all that.
Amen, sister.
there's been a few times, honey, where you just have to reprioritize. And when you reach a certain age, you think, okay, look, we can't play around with this anymore. We got to get really serious. And it's hard, Hillary. You can back me up or not about this, but you would think that with the entrance of 2013, it would be easier for a woman to make her way in music, but or in any endeavor. It's still such a hard road to plow, and I have found that as a person who hosts a radio show and calls my own shots. And you are a triple threat because you're a writer, you're a musician, and you're a singer. Have you had any obstacles in the way as you've been making your way?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, I have to say I have been very lucky. There have been the older generation of musicians that I got to know when I was, you know, just starting out when I was 19, 20 years old in New York. They for the most part, have been incredibly supportive, men and women, mostly men. You know, I'm in a business that you know, too. It's 90% men,
mm-hmm.
You know, if not more. So, but they have, on the most part, been very good to me. But absolutely, I feel like it's incredibly difficult. It's especially difficult when you are a triple, when you do many things, or when you have an opinion about, you know, how a recording should sound, or, you know, how certain things should be done. I've been very, very lucky along, you know, along the way, but absolutely, it's difficult. It's difficult to, you know, call your own shots and make your own way, and you know, even traveling, it's, you know, it's difficult to be a female and kind of be out there on your own on tour. I mean, it's a tough business, but it's also something that I can't even imagine not doing. It's been so rewarding for me, I have to tell you.
Oh, no doubt. And I'm thinking to myself, because since I posted your picture on my Facebook page in the past several days, there have been either some messages or people who have actually said to me, whoa, Hillary Cole is, you know, if folks had been aware of your voice, maybe they didn't know what you look like. And then people who were introduced to you for the first time have gone, oh, Trish, look, do you know her personally? Because you're so beautiful, and that could either be a wonderful thing, or a blessing, or a curse, because I would imagine there have been a few times in your life where you have had the, there, honey, I know that you want to do the right thing, but we know better, because if you're that beautiful, surely you can't know what you're doing.
yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah, or you certainly can't. I've gotten more of the, you can't feel what the real pain of the song is. And it's like, really? I mean,
wow.
You know, we are all born with the face that we have, for better and for worse. And I don't know how to be any other way than what I am. I have a very, very beautiful mother. I look at her, and she was one of the great beauties of the world. She looked like Raquel Welch when she was younger. She was a model.
Wow.
And I have this wonderful voice that my father, it's, you know, a gift from my father, and who is a wonderful singer. So I'm very, very lucky, and I feel like when I look in the mirror, if I see a little bit of my mother, that makes me very happy, just a little bit. I could not possibly imagine to be as beautiful as she is. But, you know, I think, yeah, absolutely, I think, you know, as a woman, it's difficult, and as someone who kind of has it all together, that can kind of be good. But I'm certainly not complaining. I've been very, very lucky in my life. I'm very excited and happy about this new, you know, endeavor with me kind of doing more traditional music, more contemporary music, and doing, putting myself out there in a way that I haven't yet. So,
gosh, and the doors are wide open, and let's refresh some folks if they had forgotten, or some folks who are new to this information. Haunted Heart, produced by John Pizzarelli, did so well for you. Gold disc in Japan, 4 stars from Downbeat. And then you are there, this amazing duets album with some people that you just can't believe are all together under one roof.
Yeah. I still can't believe it. You know, it's funny. Alan Broadbent was so he did the title track with me. He's a wonderful pianist, maybe lesser known than some of the others like Hank Jones and Dave Brubeck, but he's Diana Krall's pianist and conductor, and he was Irene Krall's pianist, and he's just an amazing. He's like a pianist pianist. He's a musician's musician.
Right.
And he said to me, "I love your album so much because I'm right by." He's like, I think he was in between two names that he just, you know, flipped out. One was Dave. He said, "I've never been on a CD with Dave Brubeck before." So that was nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Getting to work with Dave Brubeck was. One of the joys I will never forget as long as I live. He was just the sweetest, dearest man I've ever met. I tear up when I think about him. He was just incredible. So for me to be able to do that record, it took about 4 years to put together, and it was really one of the great joys of my life. I'm very proud of that.
When you think of the kind of talent that's on here, and you know, I'll just throw out some more names. Kenny Barron, who I absolutely adore.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Freddie Cole, Monty Alexander. I'm just so staggered when I hear those names. But here's the thing, and I said this before I played More Than You Know with you and Oscar Peterson. You know, Oscar, it was kind of rare for him to gravitate to certain people, certain vocalists. He did not fritter away his time because his time was jam-packed. And for him to spend some time with you, and these other artists have felt the same way, I'm sure. You are a world-class singer, so therefore it was just as important for them to spend time with you as for you to spend time with them.
Well, oh my goodness. I will never forget that, what you just said. Thank you so much for that. It was like a master.
Are you there, Hillary? Gracious. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Well, then here's what we'll do. Since we're talking about the music, and since Hillary may not know that she is not audible right now. I'm going to do this so she'll know. You can't see what I'm doing, but I see what I'm doing. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to play something for you. Here's what I'm going to play. There are four tracks, as I said, and I'm really glad I did this now. Hillary has a particular song that I'm going to save for the end of the show, but one of these tracks was real, real important because, again, going back to the songbook, when you hear a Jerome Kern song and then you hear a Michel Legrand song, you kind of know. But just to refresh your memory, you're going to hear both of them because this is a medley. Don't Ever Leave Me and Once Upon a Summertime, Jerome Kern, Michel Legrand, Hillary Cole on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And we'll get her back.
Don't ever leave me now that you're here. Here is where you belong. Near. When you're away, it's all wrong.
I would imagine that those folks who are new to hearing Hillary Cole, I've heard this said in my lifetime, not being a singer, I wouldn't know. But I would just imagine that if one hears Hillary Cole, it's we all have gifts. We understand that. But when you hear that, it probably has occurred to you to say, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to go home. Hillary Cole, Don't Ever Leave Me, and Once Upon a Summer Time. And there she is. You there, Hillary? Oh, my gosh. Well, I just put the speaker on, and I'm not hearing her. Now, she may hear me, but I'm not hearing her. Maybe what we'll do is I'm just going to fill you in on a little bit of background here for you so you'll know. And if we don't hear back with another phone, maybe, and I'll go back and forth in my messages to see if she wrote to me. We have to do this from time to time. You know what? You just roll with it. That's all you have to do. Here's the scenario. This lady is so amazing, and in putting the show together, didn't know it was going to work out this way, but Hillary has worked with the amazing Hank Jones, and I thought it would be cool to play the Cannonball Adderley song for Daddy O, and Hank Jones was playing. And then I happened to come across a CD that we got at the library, a compilation CD. And it was a track that I had already decided to play with Louis Armstrong and Oscar Peterson. And then to hear about the friendship and the collaboration with Hillary and Oscar Peterson, it's just God at work. Honest to goodness, it's just him at work. And putting together all the pieces of this puzzle that make up
hybrid jazz, and hearing an artist like this, it's pretty wild how it all works out. But while we're thinking of if she can get to a phone, maybe the cell phone will work again. But if she can't get to a phone, what we're going to do is we'll play this track so you can know that Hillary, what she said is true. She's tackling new music, and here she is, and maybe this song. I'm glad. I really wanted to play the song at the end of the show. Hillary, are you there? Hillary, are you there? Not there. Okay. Well, we'll play the song then. This is Hillary Cole, and a song that is going to ship. You'll recognize the song, but her interpretation is so very cool. It's going to ship to some folks, I believe, next week. This possibly could be one of your favorite songs, Bridge Over Troubled Water, this interpretation by Hillary Cole. You know, if I can just say, some folks who have done this through the years, my son and I were talking about this morning, and he said, wow, that song has been around for a while, and some folks have covered it. And I said, yeah, some folks should have never covered it. But Hillary Cole, when it comes out of her mouth, Bridge Over Troubled Water has this new meaning. And here she is. Hillary, you there? Okay, now she's going to come on the another phone, so we've got two phones. Hillary, you there? Oh, no, really? All right, Hillary, we've got both phones in operation here, and I can't hear you on either one. Wow, what a dilemma. This has never happened before. Let me just try something. I don't think that's going to work. Not there. When I hear her voice. And maybe it's something from Blog Talk Radio. We'll see. All right, we'll find out this way. Hillary, are you there? No? Okay. I'm not sure what this is, but I'll try it. Blog Talk Radio is always including different kinds of gadgets to make the job go better. But this is something new, and this really has never happened before. So, well, that's okay. I mean, shoot, we've got a whole hour and 20 minutes of the show. We'll figure something out. And I want to get a definitive answer on Bridge Over Troubled Water and how that is going to play into the scheme of things with Hillary, because I believe that the focus is going to be on that song. So just keep a bookmark in that thought. And while we're figuring this out some more, we'll play some more Oscar Peterson with Louis Armstrong from something that was out in 1957. And maybe Hillary's dad would know all about this. Louis Armstrong meets Oscar Peterson. I was doing all right.
Love isn't one big blunder, But when you hold me tight, tingling all through, I feel somehow I was doing all right. But I'm doing a little better than ever now.
Wow. Woo, such a cool song. And when they got together, it was the first time. I think it was the only time. That's a George and Ira Gershwin song, I Was Doing All Right. They had such a good chemistry, Louis Armstrong and Oscar Peterson. Oscar got together Herb Ellis on guitar and Ray Brown. That was his core band. And then Louis Belson came in to do a guest drumming stint. And it just really had a pre-planned but also a spontaneous vibe that was just so noted at that particular time in the late 1950s. Actually, it came out in October of 1957. I was 5 years old. Woo! It was reissued in 1997 on CD with four bonus tracks. And just love the whole idea of Oscar Peterson getting together with our guest, Hillary Cole. And hopefully this will work. I don't know what to say if it doesn't work, but we'll give it another try. Hillary, are you there? Oh, I heard a blurb. You heard a blurb too? Yeah, it's not coming through. That's a shame. I don't know what the story is on that, and we'll figure it out. But both phones were not working, and we'll get to that and figure out why. I guess what we should do, we should go to some more music and just play some more music, and we'll find out sooner or later what the scenario is. So we'll get to it and play something from George Howard. Let's do that, shall we? Something easy on the ears, like Hillary Cole's singing. Love Will Find a Way, going back to 1985 or so, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
George Howard, Love Will Find a Way. Got to play some Philadelphia for you in the house. God rest his soul. George Howard left us too soon at age of 41. And got a whole bunch of other music that I want to play. And I'm going to try one more time to see if Hillary is there. Hillary, are you there? Isn't that interesting? Now, that's the first time it's happened since we've been on the show with this show, Hybrid Jazz, from Trish Hennessy since last August. So I'm thinking that it could be one of those blips. And you know what? If we can't get Hillary on the phone, I just wrote to her and said to her, this is what we're going to do. We'll have you on another time because I want to keep up with her. Her career is in this particular mode right now where it looks like all of New York knows about her. She has done these international festivals, but it's taking on a new form. And that's pretty exciting, especially with Bridge Over Troubled Water. I'm anxious to see how that's going to play out. You know what I mean? So that's cool. I'll talk to her after the show on the private phone and figure out something that's going on. Yeah. Well, let's continue on. We played George Howard, and it was such a treat to hear that Lionel Richie song done in a capable saxophonist's hands. And now I'm going to play to you somebody local, Amy Shook, who you know of. We have heard her, actually. We've had her on the show, not only on Hybrid Jazz, but also on Cool Jazz Conversations. And, yeah, we have to figure out what's going on with that. I'll talk to Joy Hall tomorrow. And Amy got together with Frank Russo and some other amazing folks, and we'll tell you about that. But this is the Shook Russo Quartet featuring Greg Gisbert. Sweet Begonia for Mom on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Heads are better than just one. You can find the answer. And when the chips are done and something must be done, when we don't know who to turn to, maybe then is when we learn how to share any kind of weather. Good or hard. If you believe that you are out there on your own, hiding in your sorrow, and when you know that you can't make it all alone, when there are mountains deep, impossible to climb. Maybe I'm in the same mood as you, writing out the weather, put our hearts together. When over what you hear, the voice is crying out, searching for some meaning. When you are lost inside a world of fear and doubt, and when it seems that even God has let you down, look around at the ones just like you.
Pretty. Oh, that is from Four Place. Yes, Four Place CD, Esprit de Four. And each of the gentlemen in Four Play had an input of what songs were going to be on the CD. And that is a song written by Bob James, along with another Hillary James, Put Our Hearts Together. And the vocal on that was by a lady who is not necessarily known in this country, but is known elsewhere, Seiko Matsuda. Put Our Hearts Together. Bob James has a real heart for those who have suffered, and the future of Japan. And he just had a little idea, and he got together with Hillary, and they put that song together. And I thought it would be really cool for us to play that song today, just because there's a new beginning now. The inauguration was yesterday, and Put Our Hearts Together means something significant, as does the song that we heard right before by Greg Hatza, and I'll tell you about that. But we have to make mention that Chuck Loeb had one of those wonderful surprises happen to him. Chuck Loeb, of course, in Four Play as well. And actually, his December Dream from the Esprit de Four album is up for a Grammy. So I know the guys are really excited for him. I know that Chuck is still pinching himself. And it's just so interesting how this all ties together, because Chuck is doing a new solo album, and he's helping out another artist with her album. You're going to hear her momentarily. Greg Hatza, we heard, and his organization, Snake Eyes, from 1998. That was Stand Up and Be Counted. Another one of those songs that hit me to play as I was looking at everything that was transpiring yesterday with this new beginning. So interesting to tell you about Greg and New Beginnings. Greg, we had on the show too. He's originally from Reading, Pennsylvania. Over a long period of time in the music industry, that's for sure. His inspirations, Jimmy McGriff, Jimmy Smith, Ray Charles, also part of a group that is known far and wide, not only in this region, but elsewhere, a group called Moon August. But Greg, if you're thinking about New Year's resolutions still, I want you to consider this, okay? Over 42 years of martial arts experiences. And Greg just celebrated a birthday not that long ago. And he's in his 60s. And he looks like a man who is in his 40s. I mean, early 40s. His body is phenomenal. He is actually considered, and I'm doing the Cantonese a translation of this particular word, he is considered a shorfu, or excuse me, a Mandarin pronunciation of this, shorfu, S-H-I-F-U. Sometimes the F is not, the H is not included. He's a master of his particular martial arts endeavors, shorfu. So for those of us in the area, and Greg has put the bug in my ear for a little bit now, why don't you come and see me so I can give you this rock-hard body that I have? We're still mulling that over. Phenomenal organ player. Phenomenal shorfu. Greg Hatza and his organization right there. And Amy Shook, along with Frank Russo, they are at the helm of their quartet, and I want to give you the lowdown of all these folks and give you the lowdown, too, of what Amy is doing in the next couple of days. Just really very cool people having a chance to see Amy and Frank and Bob Buddha and Greg Gisbert playing. It's just amazing what superior musicians can do. Amy, playing upright bass, has played for the White House a few times. And I'll never forget one of the quotes when she was playing one of those times. All sorts of people were milling back and forth when she was playing. And, you know, the people who work at the White House keep it real. 24/7. If you don't know that by now, that's a shame. But they do keep it real. And here is this tall goddess who looks like the girl next door. Actually, she looks like a librarian sometimes. Amy, with her long hair and her glasses, and really tearing into that upright bass. There was a gentleman who walked back and almost walked into a wall, and he said to somebody, "Did you see that white girl playing the bass in there?" It tripped me out when I heard that so much. Amy still laughs about that. If you ever see the interview that she has done with Jazz Times, she is effervescent. She is so appreciative of anybody that comes to see her. She has been asked to fill in at a moment's notice with some top people, and she has some works that she's doing this year that'll blow your mind, and we'll have to get her on the show to talk about this. If you're in the Annapolis area, close to Ram's Head, where we go all the time, is 49 West, the coffee house and wine bar in Annapolis. She will be there this week. AmyShook.com has more information. Now, back to Hillary Cole. Apparently, there are some issues with Blog Talk Radio today. It's all right. We're just rolling with the flow. nothing's going to bother me in 2013, this is the perfect opportunity to say that we're going to have Hillary call back. And we'll get more into what she's going to be doing this year and what she's got on tap. I just love it. No worries. We're in touch back and forth on the other email, and we got it together. Chuck Loeb, working with Keiko Matsui. Yes. And there is a picture on Chuck Loeb's Facebook page. He and Keiko finishing up some things, and that's very exciting. This is dipping back into Keiko Matsui's The Road, .. Love to say the name of this song, Ingua Wanja, which translates into to take pride on the road you are traveling on your journey. Keiko Matsui, Hybrid Jazz, from Trish Hennessy. I'm
so good in here.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom in the breeze, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, a new day, a new life for me, and I'm feeling mighty good, yeah. Oh well, yeah. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies are having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a bold world and a cold world for me. And I'm feeling mighty good, y'all. Oh, yeah. Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, that's how I feel. And this older world is a colder world and a colder world for me. But I'm feeling mighty good. I'm feeling good this evening.
That's lovely. Let's put it right there in the pocket, huh? Yeah. And Nicholas Sample on bass once again. My baby. And my Joe. I love you so much.
Yes, and we know who Randy Crawford loves so much, Joe Sample. What a collaboration through the years. Mercy sakes alive. Feeling Good from Live. Oh, my goodness. With Nicholas Sample, Joe Sun on bass, and Steve Gadd on drums. Just, man, you talk about feeling good. And Joe, when he's on the show, he makes you feel good, doesn't he? Talk about keeping it real. Woohoo! Joe is looking forward to playing the Blue Note in March. And what he had talked about when he was here on Hybrid Jazz a few months ago, he's been practicing his accordion, and he's getting together some real good roots music, and he's going to do he's going to bring that accordion into play when he does some gigs. So when I get those gigs formatted so that you can know where he's going to be, I'll let you know, because you need to see him playing the accordion. Oh, mercy. Groove School from Limited Edition. That is one of those songs that I felt obliged to play, and hopefully you can see the irony in this. There are a number of wonderful tracks on this D.C.-based group with Christian Big New York DeMasones on bass and Nick Costa on drums, Kevin Grogan on keys, Mike Gamble on guitar, and my God, Kevin Anderson on sax. I love the way that guy plays sax. But the Bullfighter really stood out because I wanted to play it for Barack Obama because he's got to fight a lot more bull in this administration. And it seemed to be the appropriate song to play, the Bullfighter, from Groove School, G-R-O-O-V-E, of course, and then school, F-K-O-O-L. As of a certain date in January of this year, number one on the local Reverb Nation charts. I love that. Haven't heard what Groove School was doing, and I think they're retooling and regrouping, but that is a smashing CD, Groove School's limited edition. It's just full of New York influences from Christian and D.C. and Virginia and Baltimore rhythms. It's his own mix, and it's not just because I say all this, just because Christian has a quote from me on his Facebook page. Christian just loved the whole notion years ago that I wanted to get Full Tilt Boogie involved in hybrid jazz, all of it, a mix of the straight ahead, mix of the contemporary, fused, funky, put together in different ways, all the stuff that fits in the cracks in between. Not just one kind of jazz, but all of it. He loved it, so he grabbed it as his own, and that's okay. Keiko Matsui, we heard from The Road, ...... Ngua Wanja, to take pride in the road you are traveling on your journey. And Keiko is doing things a little different this year. Usually what she does, I'm not quite sure of why she does this, but she has been going on tour in Russia and Siberia and the really cold places late in the year, and then she finishes things up at home in Japan. But she's turning things around a little bit, and she's going to be in Japan right around Valentine's Day, and she's going to be doing Russia and Siberia in the early part of the year. She'll be at Berks Jazz coming up in the next few months. So that will be a pivotal reason why many folks attend the festival anytime she's there, because with her show, it's just mind-blowing. She is a cut above because she was groomed at a very early age in her homeland in the province that she grew up in. Her mom was keen on making sure that she learned piano a particular kind of way. So Keiko is all about not only the perfection, which she is absolutely marvelous at doing, but also the spiritual and the classical and all of the jazz that she has learned. All of that comes out. You are seeing something that is a miracle to see. She's breathtaking. Keiko Matsui. And it's good to have all the folks in the chat room that we did today. I know a lot of folks were here for Hillary Cole, and we had some time with her, but we'll do it again. We've been writing back and forth to each other during the show, and there's no doubt that we really enjoyed each other's company a whole lot. And we're going to do it again very soon. I'm going to give her some dates to come back, and we'll figure out what's happening with the phone situation or Blog Talk Radio, and we'll work it all out, no doubt about it. I'm going to cut the show short a little bit today because I figured on that extra 20 minutes or so with Hillary, so hope you don't mind. And I can actually do Daoud's outro music and get to talk about him a little bit. In case you don't know about the intro music and the outro music from Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, I'll tell you a little bit about the person who does it. His name is Daoud Saeed, and he's one of our great, not just good, one of our great keyboardists in this region. Based in Baltimore, has lived in D.C. Dad was quite well known at Howard University. Dad speaks 7 or 8 languages. And Mom had been an interior designer. And Daoud has a brother. And the family knew that Daoud had a great talent early on. So he got immersed at the Duke Ellington School for the Performing Arts in D.C. and became adept. So adept that he had been working for Walter Beasley, Nuzzi, Angela Beaufil, and all of those kinds of experiences give you what you're hearing right now. And he continues to play in the Baltimore region. He should be playing internationally. There's no sense talking to him about it. I have tried. But when you get a chance to see him, please do. It's his birthday today, and that is why I'm telling you all I'm telling you about Daoud Saeed. So there we go. And thank you for the music, Daoud. And thank you, all of the guests that we've had today. And Amy, that's wonderful. Yolanda on her way to NAMM tomorrow, part of the big conference there for musicians and everybody associated with the industry, and on her way to move to Las Vegas. Yay, Yolanda. Beach, thanks for stopping by. Griselda, thank you so much. Matt, who had to leave us early, and for all the guests that were included in the mix today, thank you very much, and we'll see you with Douye on Thursday. Yes! And some more good news after that, which we'll keep to ourselves. Thank you very much for tuning in to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you once again to Hillary Cole. We'll see her again soon down the road. Goodbye and God bless.